RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
All right, fourth and final hour of the Pomp and Joe Show. Joe Starkey called in as John from Kennedy, but he'll be back on Wednesday. Tomorrow, Austin will be in the hot seat taking you through the day. In the meantime, we're talking about the winner-take-all scenario coming up at Acrisure Stadium on Sunday night, 8:20 on Sunday Night Football. And we bring in a man who has been really good about analyzing the Ravens throughout the season when we've had him on from 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore, Mr. Rob Long. How are you, Rob? How's everything down there in BLAT?
Doing well right now, man. I got a chance to get into the playoffs, winner take all. Ravens versus Steelers, you couldn't have it better than this. I actually just stepped out of basketball practice to come. But before practice, all my girls were talking about this game coming up.
So what was the thought going into Green Bay, and what's the thought now? Did people think this was actually going to happen, the scenario? Because if you look at the metrics on it, it was like 88% Steelers were going to win this division without ever playing a meaningful game on Sunday.
Well, let me take you back to the very beginning. I can't speak for people. I'll speak for myself. I Ravens would beat Green Bay on Saturday at all. But when that happened, then I had a lot more confidence in this happening right here because, you know, I didn't know the Steelers were like 1-6 in the last seven in Cleveland, yeah. But I knew they hadn't been good recently, so I started getting a little more confidence. There was some anxiety, but once the Ravens won Saturday night, I felt a lot more confident. But to get back to your original question, I didn't think we would be here because I didn't think the Ravens would hold up with their end of the bargain.
Yeah, and especially without Lamar Jackson, although it turned out, as I said this to Austin Bechtold over here, and he'll get into this conversation with us, but I thought the best thing that could have happened that night was no Lamar Jackson. They had to do what they haven't been willing to do, and that's feed Derrick Henry consistently all season long. He's the difference maker. Although I do know when he fumbles, he seems to get his mind in different places, and the Steelers forced a fumble last year in that game, but they kind of made it simple on John Harbaugh. Just give him the ball and say, Patrick Ricard, just go lead the way, and we're going to beat you that way.
I agree, but why does it take getting Lamar out of the game to do your job?
Well, you tell me that. Why has it been the case?
I'll take you before we blame our offensive coordinator. We've been here before. We've been here multiple times with this team who forgets to run the football. And to me, I've said it to you before, the responsibility is at the top, and that's the head coach. Your head coach wears a headset. At some point, you got to say, we're not going to run Hall of Fame running back. And even before we had Derrick Henry, there were times his team forgot to run the football. Why? I have no clue. So I don't blame just the offensive coordinators. I think that the responsibility is at the top. Same thing with the defense. We've been talking for years, decades even. Why do we get soft on defense? Why do we play prevent defense? We've gone through multiple defensive coordinators, and we've asked the same questions. So when I'm going through multiple coordinators and I'm asking the same question, it means maybe the coordinators are going based on the policy and procedure manual. Maybe they're doing exactly how it's supposed to be done in this organization. There's some Raven fans, honestly, and this sounds silly, but I got to say it, who don't want the Ravens to win this game on Sunday because they believe it'll be the end of John Harbaugh. I'm not gone that far. And at the same time, if you're going to make this move, a 9-8 season should not save him from this move being made. If you're going to make the move regardless of what the results are Sunday. However, there are some who are done with it and ready to move on.
Who do you think gives the Ravens a better chance to win, Rob? Snoop Huntley or Lamar? Lamar in his current condition he is right now.
Well, naturally, he's a current condition because not medically cleared. So naturally, it'd be Huntley because, Lamar is not medically cleared. If Lamar Jackson is okay to play, he's a two-time MVP, and the year Josh Allen won it, some thought he should have won it that year. To me, it's not even a question.
But he's not going to be 100%. Lamar, but he's not going to be 100%. And that's my point.
No one's going to be 100%.
No, but he's...
No one's going to be 100%.
Apparently, he's not even 50-50 at this point. So if they force him to play, I think they'd be better off with Tyler Huntley.
If we're saying in Lamar's current state, no one should play because you're not medically cleared to play. But if Lamar's cleared to play, then I'll take Lamar Jackson. Put it this way. If my job was on the line, and I'm not saying Harbaugh's is, but if my job was on the line... You got a healthy Lamar, meaning he's cleared to play, and you decide to go with Huntley and you lose that game, your job might be on the line then.
Right. Sounds like a similar situation that's up here. The expectation level is so high because of what the Steelers were looking at, which is a game against Cleveland. When you watched that game, you said your expectations went up because you thought it would be difficult, but that's a Cleveland offense that just can't get out of its own way, and somehow they won that game. Did you really think that the Steelers would lose it, given a golden opportunity to wrap it up before this game ever became meaningful?
Honestly, going into that game, I thought the Browns had a better chance of beating the Steelers than the Ravens did of beating the Packers. Hmm. I wouldn't have put money on either one of those games, but just because of the history of Steelers in Cleveland, I thought maybe the Browns had a better chance of winning that football game. Once the Ravens won it, it just felt like it was one of those things that was just bound to happen. The NFL is crazy. I'm not one of these conspiracy theorists, but the NFL just has a way. Look at how many, not winner take all, but how many divisional championship games are next weekend. It's just the NFL just is the luckiest league in all of American sports. It just seemed to, once the Ravens won, I thought, yeah, we're going to have a winner take all matchup on Sunday.
Yeah, a lot of people came to that same conclusion. Rob Long from 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore joining us. I want to get back to the first game of the year between the Steelers and Baltimore. The ending, Isaiah Likely, looked like a touchdown, and it was ruled an incompletion. What was your thought on that, and did the Ravens talk a lot about that after it was over?
Ravens did, the fans did, I did. What's a catch?
I agree. I thought it was a catch, too.
How do you make a football move in the end zone?
You don't?
How do you make a football move in the end zone? It's called the end zone. There's no moves to be made. 1-2, there's a catch. It's the end zone. It means that's the end. There's no other place to go. So what is a football move? I'm not catching it and looking to advance. That's it. That's over with. Why is it that when I cross the pylon and the ball gets knocked out of my hand, it's a touchdown? But if I put 2 feet in the end zone and the ball gets knocked out of my hand, it's not a catch. Any place else on the field, 2 feet down is a catch. On the sidelines, 2 feet down is a catch. So in the end zone, 2 feet down, ball knocked out of your hand, should be a catch.
I agree. I thought so as it played out. I thought they were going to lose that game.
Yeah, I thought the same exact thing, that was a catch. There was the controversial Aaron Rodgers catch on the deflected batted ball. I wanted to get back to the Henry situation, though, Rob. Like, why was it a couple weeks ago that he did not even play in the last 8 minutes or so, and they just depended on Keaton Mitchell to be the main guy? I don't understand why John Harbaugh, is it a coordinator issue? Is it a Harbaugh issue as to why they are so dependent on Keaton Mitchell in moments like that and not Henry, not counting last game?
I don't want to hear nothing about no coordinator. Your head coach has a headset on. Hey, dude, why is Derrick Henry not on the field? You can run whatever play you want as long as 22 is on the field. You're the head coach. Like we said, the end zone, you're the head coach. You are the boss. You know, I mean, things come through you. They basically said to us, it wasn't Henry's turn. What is this, flag football? What is this, Pop Warner football where everybody has to have a certain amount of snaps? It's not his turn. He was asked, well, who made that decision? Well, basically the players made that decision. I don't believe any of it. I don't believe any of it. And then Harbaugh says to us, we're only talking about 6 plays. Well, it was only 6 plays because you didn't have 22 on the field, and it probably could have been more than 6 plays because you would have gotten first downs. The first series of the game, the Ravens only ran 6 plays. You know what they did on play number 6? scored. So are we only talking about six plays? It's the most ridiculous thing ever. I'm telling you, man, you got me riled up. You know, I'm trying to be a good guy, but you got me riled up because I'm so tired of the answers. I want you to do me a favor. You can find us online. And my co-host, Jeremy Kahn, you guys have him on from time to time on your station. He pointed this out.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Listen to John Harbaugh's post-game press conferences after a win, and then listen after a loss. After wins, oh, he wants to be thankful to the guy who made this all possible, the creator. He wants to be this, he wants to be that. And I'm all for that. I love that. But you don't hear that too much when he loses. When he loses, it's short answer, quick answers. Why are you guys asking that? When we ask those questions when they win, that's a good question. Okay, answer the question, man.
Yeah, I agree.
So I'm really done with the act. I'm done with the act.
It sounds like similar situations because you hear a lot of that up here in Pittsburgh about the future of Mike Tomlin. But I want to get back to Henry. I've noticed when he fumbles in a game that he's not the same running back. It happened last year in Pittsburgh. Where, and I don't know if they stay away from him as a result. Does Harbaugh penalize him when that happens? Because to me, he's still a guy that you got to get out there 36 times. That may be excessive, but they needed it the other night. But why is it that, or does he just get psyched out of situations when he loses the football? I see a huge difference there when that happens, or am I just delirious?
I don't think you're delirious at all. I can't answer the question about being punished. I know in the past, John Harbaugh has punished running backs for fumbling the ball. I don't know if you do that to a guy who has an easy pass, in an express lane to Canton. I don't know if you do that to him, but I also noticed that too. Henry seems to be a different guy. I don't know whether it's a matter of him not being used to being that guy who fumbles and gets in his own head, but he does become kind of a different guy after he fumbles. And this year, he had some problems with the fumble a little more often than we're used to.
Have the Ravens fixed their defensive problems, Rob, especially the ones that were more so prevalent early on in the season?
No. No, they have not. No, Fair they enough. Have not. The secondary is horrible. Let me ask you a question. How does Odafe Owe have zero sacks in Baltimore?
Yeah, he turns into a
difference
maker.
And then he goes
maker.
To the Chargers. He has, what, seven, eight? That's the same dude.
Yep.
That's the same dude. So I don't know. They have not. Nate Wiggins looks like a shadow of himself, a shell of himself, and he's only in his, what, second year? Marlon Humphrey, I love Marlon Humphrey, but Marlon Humphrey doesn't look the same. They need to put Hamilton. Kyle Hamilton does not need to be at the line of scrimmage. You do not make Kyle Hamilton play in a role based on your deficiency. He's lanky. You're going to ruin this kid. Play him, back him off the line of scrimmage. No, so, no, they have not. They've been very fortunate, I think. They play some teams that probably can't exploit them. And they scored 41 points on Saturday. And I don't think Pittsburgh is a team that can really exploit them, especially without DK Metcalf. So, no, I don't think they've fixed anything. I just think they've been really fortunate that they haven't faced teams that can really exploit them.
Rob, what was your position on the DK Metcalf situation in total, but also the fact that he got a two-game suspension where we've seen other incidents similar, maybe not with a punch involved or a swipe or whatever you want to call that, but the NFL did not penalize different people who've been involved with fans, and yet this one results in two. Who's to blame? And to me, it's strictly Metcalf for going over there. He shouldn't have even done it. What was your take down there when you saw it? And do you think that
that's my
punishment fits the crime?
That's my take. Him going over there is bad, bad optics, because now you're telling fans that they're not safe from being approached by players. And fans are your customers. A two-game suspension I thought was a little much. I expected it to be a one-game suspension, and I'm floored that the suspension was upheld. I thought for sure this is just window dressing. They'll suspend him for two. He'll peel, and they'll peel it back to one because there's no way they're going to make him miss week 18. I'm shocked that they upheld that two-game suspension. The problem is this, and I'll say it. In my career, I've been called some things that I wouldn't repeat on radio. But there's never a reason to turn verbal into physical. There's never a reason.
Yeah.
If you decide you want to do that, then fine. You're going to suffer the consequences. There's no justification to turn verbal into physical. I don't care what's being said. If you feel that's the line, then fine. You go ahead and cross that line and you deal with the consequences. And I think that's what DK Metcalf did. Whatever was said to him, he considered that to be the line.
Right,
that crossed the line, and he decided to retaliate. But there's never a time where physical retaliation is justification for verbal.
Especially when you have so much to lose—not just your own money, but also your team and what they're trying to do—and you're the number one receiver. But I also think the NFL should have done more too, knowing that this guy was brought up to them a year ahead of time, and they're back. But he should have just alerted someone to say, "Go over and get him out of here." He's been doing this for 2 years, and you have it on record that I've done that. So I think there are mistakes on both ends.
I agree with you. I 100% agree with you. I wanted this also. There was a security guard over there.
Yeah, he didn't do much.
Like, he didn't respond at all when the fan was talking. So I wonder if the NFL asked him what was said, and they deemed it not to be as offensive as DK Metcalf thought it to be. Because I'm sure if it was offensive language, the NFL would have walked it back a little bit. So maybe the language wasn't as harsh at that time as Metcalf made it out to be. Maybe there was a buildup of some things that were said in the past.
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know. Well, I'm just saying that, you know, it's just odd to me that the security guard that was there never at any time physically or even looked in shock at anything that was said or done over in that area.
Well, and it seems different, too, than when Lamar had that altercation with the fan. I think that was in Buffalo, because the fan kind of went at Lamar first. And
when at Lamar, and I believe D-Hop as well was over there, I think he reached at them, and that's different. And I'm not saying it because it's Ravens versus Steelers, because I told you I thought the two-game suspension was too much on DK Metcalf. But I think the difference is if DK was walking by that fan and that fan reached at him and DK reacted to it, I think you'll probably have a different reaction by the NFL.
No, I agree with that. I think it's strictly because he went and took it upon himself, and no one knew the backstory here or whatever. It does not matter. You cannot put yourself in that position in the middle of a game, no less. And I can tell at the end of that that he wasn't the same player on the field. He had a couple of drops as a result. You can tell that guy had gotten into his head. So that affected that.
Well, did he get into his head, or did he realize that he screwed up?
One of the two.
DK Metcalf looks to me to be one of those guys, man, I screwed up. And maybe he can't get it back. I thought it was – maybe you're right. But the first thing I thought was, yeah, he knew he screwed up, and now it's in his head.
In a season as unpredictable as both have been for the Steelers and Ravens, what do you expect to happen in this one, Rob?
I honestly believe that this is one of those games that for one day the Ravens get – the sweeps don't happen often in this series. And if ever there was a time where the Ravens maybe be glad that they lost to the Steelers, it's right now, because sweeps don't happen too often in this series. I think the Ravens go up to Pittsburgh and win a very low-scoring game. I'm hoping for some snow. That'll only make it even more dramatic.
Yeah, it's going to be cold. I don't know about the snow, but we might get a little bit there. Anyway, hey, Rob, it's always a pleasure talking to you, man. Thanks for taking some time away from basketball.
Always, guys.
But you're always the great guy to talk to down there. So thanks, and Happy New Year to you.
Hey. Have a happy new year, guys. You guys are the best. Always love coming on with you.
All right, that's Rob Long, 105.7 The Fan, joining us down in Baltimore. So that's interesting, and he expects a low-scoring game. I don't know about that. I can expect some points in this game. normally we say it's going to be 6'3", 9'6", 13'10", that kind of stuff. You may see a little bit more offense in this game.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.